Beginning with verse 15, then, of Romans chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence today. And we could say amen now and go home, and it would have been profitable for us to meet together, for you have met with us. Now we pray that you will crown this day by speaking to us once again out of your word. Stir up our pure minds, we pray, by way of remembrance. Convict us where we are, convince us of what your will is. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit, each one, and we'll be careful to obey and careful to walk in the light that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to sit down and start a discussion with you this evening and ask you the question, how would you define Christian? What is a Christian? Even though we believe in being born again, and even though we have a good idea of what it takes to get to heaven, we would probably have little differences of idea of how we could arrive at the idea of what a true Christian really is. Thank God the final judge is God himself. And it's not up to us to decide whether this person is truly a Christian or whether he isn't. The point I'm trying to make this evening is the fact that there are many definitions. I spoke to a young man who's an author of a book about C.S. Lewis, Michael Christensen at General Assembly, and I asked him the question. I was thinking about this evening's sermon, what's a Christian? He says, I suppose a Christian is someone that loves Jesus. I said, that doesn't quite satisfy me. But even though there are many different definitions, the frightening thing is that people who don't know Jesus Christ, people who have no idea of how to get to heaven, are finding their definition of what it means to be a Christian by looking at me and looking at you. And whether you will admit it or not this evening, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, it may be a frightening thing and a sobering thing, but you are defining what a Christian is. Because people aren't going to stop and say that's the right definition, or that's the theological definition, or that's even the scriptural definition. They'll say, he claims to be a Christian, she claims to be a Christian. That's what a Christian is. And I'm concerned that my definition of Christian, my practical, outliving definition of Christian, is such that people will want the kind of life that I have found in Jesus Christ. My own personal definition, my head definition, how I define Christian, has to do with life. I happen to believe that if Jesus Christ has implanted his life way down deep in my soul, if the Christ life has been imparted, and if Christ lives in me, then I'm a Christian. What I believe is important, how I act is important. The experience that I feel and share with others is important. And yet, the Christ life within will have an effect on all these other aspects. But the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is life. If Jesus really lives in me, then I'm a Christian. But it's not always easy for us to see Jesus living in me, in you, in us. And yet, if Jesus Christ's life really is within, there are some things that are going to be taking place. And almost offhand, in a casual way, Paul, in one single verse in this part of the heart of Romans, and you know you ought to really wear out Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, especially 8. You just ought to read it and reread it. But in one verse, Paul outlines the norm for a Christian, how to define the word Christian in our lives. And he tells us this is what life in Christ really is, and this is what it does for us. And I want you to look with me this evening at Romans 6, 22. And I want you to walk with me step by step through the four phrases there of Romans 6, 22, bearing in mind the idea that we are defining the word Christian by the way that we live. The Christ life within is not under bondage to sin in any way. Now being made free from sin. The lowest form of Christian life, if you could call it low, but the least amount of salvation you can have on board and still be a Christian, is powerful enough to be free from habitual and willful and continual falling into sin. There's no such thing as being transformed by the power and the grace of God and accepting the Lord as Savior in a very real way and having the Christ life within and then continuing to live the same kind of life that we lived before we encountered Christ. And I'm not here to split hairs with those that define mistakes as sin. And I'm not here to split hairs with those that say after you saved, you never will sin. I'm so glad that 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 are still in the Bible. If we do fall into sin, we have an advocate. And yet, Paul says that if we are Christian, we are free from sin. How so? We're free, first of all, from the guilt of sin. A Christian has confessed his sins, and he has found that God is faithful and just to forgive him of all of his sins. Sometimes we have a job learning to forgive ourselves. But it's a wonderful thing to realize that since I have received the Christ life within me is free from the guilt of former sins that I've committed. Praise God. And then the Christ life is also free from the dominating power of sin. We don't have to go on sinning every day in word, thought, and deed. Praise God. I want to talk this evening briefly about further freedom from sin. A Christian can go on and find victory over the very root of sin within. I'm sure that this has been the subject of controversy and misunderstanding, and some holiness preachers have treated original sin like a thing or something that could be rooted out in such a way that there's a store of holiness apart from the presence of God. But I want to testify this evening that there is a very real dying out to selfishness, and there's a cleansing fullness that cleanses the motivation of the heart and opens every corner of the heart to the illuminating fire of the Spirit of God and gives us victory over the tendency to unbelief until we can be made completely free from the very root of sin. Some of the manifestations of the unsanctified heart are a tendency to unbelief, a response to the original question of Satan in the third chapter of Genesis when he came to our first fathers and said, "Yea, has God really said that?" down within the unsanctified heart, there's a tendency to listen and say, can really I trust in the Word of God? Can I really believe that? And that's part of the root of sin. Then one of the manifestations of the unsanctified heart is a tendency to rebel against authority. Whenever the constituted authority of God says, thou shalt, something down within says, maybe I will and maybe I won't. There's a rebelling against the authority of God's called ministers. When the preacher may preach under the anointing of God and say, this is what God's will is, and you know it's God's will, something way down within, the root of sin, says, I will not be subject to authority. There's a rebelling against the authority, the legitimate authority of the body, the church. And we need to learn a little bit more about what it means to get in step and to march in the kingdom of God. God doesn't make us little tin saints, but He does make us a part of a great army, and we need to be disciplined and coordinated and willing to accept authority and to go where we feel that is the good of the congregation to go and to be a part of that congregation. And the root of sin is a tendency to rebel against authority. The root of sin also is a tendency to push aside the central issues of salvation until we pick out something good out of God's Word and put that at the center instead of the Lordship of Christ at the center. And it's possible to emphasize just about any good thing in the Bible and let it push aside the fact that the basic tenet of our faith is the Lordship of Christ, whatever He would have me to do. A manifestation of the unsanctified heart is a tendency to be up and down, vacillating, now hot, now cold, all excited about this, and then you don't see them for several weeks. Then a manifestation of the unsanctified heart, the ultimate tendency, as far as I'm concerned, of carnality, is a leaning toward taking the Scriptures as an excuse for excusing our personal failure to do God's will. We actually find reasons in the Bible for being the way we are. But Paul says that we are to be made free from sin. Even this inner leaning, this root, is provided for. So as we define Christian, we need to make sure that we've had power over the guilt of sin, and we have victory over the power itself of sin. And by the grace of God, we can be cleansed from the very tendency and root of sin as we walk in the light. The Christ life is not under bondage to sin in any way. Then he goes on in that second phrase to tell us that the Christ life is never selfishly engaged. He said, being made free from sin, you have become slaves to God. Perhaps we all come to God selfishly to begin with. I don't know. I think a selfish motivation had a lot to do with my coming to God. I didn't want to go to hell. And yet I found out pretty soon that I wasn't just saved in order to save my skin from going to hell, but that I was saved in order to take part in the most thrilling business of all, of kingdom business. And we are free. God has no slaves in shackles except shackles of love. But we're free in order that we might serve God. And if I'm to define the word Christian, it doesn't just mean that I'm free from sin and then going about my merry way. A dormant and dead and selfish faith at best is in grave danger. And the first question that a genuinely born-again Christian asks is the question Paul asked when he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I wonder, as I'm defining the word Christian, am I seeking to be the love slave of Jesus Christ? Am I telling those that are looking at me for a definition of Christian that a Christian is active in the kingdom of God? Then the third phrase says, being made free from sin, become the slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the Christ life within will produce Christ likeness. Increasingly, we will become like Jesus. The negative side was expressed in the freedom from the root of unbelief, the cleansing. But the positive side is this, it's the fruit unto holiness. And we find out pretty soon that Christ is not just interested in what we can do in His kingdom, but He's interested in the kind of people that we are in representing Him. And our cry is, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. And at a second crisis time, we come and consecrate our all. And we say, Holy Spirit, stamp the image of Christ upon me. And we find we're not just free from sin and become slaves to God, but the result is that we have our fruit unto holiness. And that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance begins to blossom out. And the Christ life is revealed in Christ's likeness. I'm sure there's none of us here tonight that would say, look at me, I'm like Jesus Christ. And yet we are defining Christian to those that we go about. And God help us that they will see Jesus Christ in us. It will become a part of us in this definition of Christian. And finally this evening, that last phrase, he says, and the result is eternal life. The Christ life is anchored in eternity. Christians shouldn't be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And yet Christians are citizens of two worlds. And you know, increasingly, as this world seems intent on plunging into hell, and I believe God wants to give us a revival, and I believe God wants to have us be a catalyst for revival, and yet sometimes the Christian just gets homesick for heaven and he realizes that he has the assurance of eternal life, and that assurance becomes increasingly precious till he can say, as a Christian, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And when we talk about death and when we talk about eternity and when we talk about the things that will last forever, there's a genuine ring in our soul. We have the assurance that not only have we become free from sin here, and we're serving God here, and God is making us Christ-like here, but that we have the assurance that we're going to spend eternity with God. You say, do you believe in eternal security? I certainly do, of that kind. I believe I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus, because that's part of really being a Christian. How are you defining the word Christian in your life? I didn't ask you tonight, do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I didn't ask you, are you truly an Orthodox Wesleyan Arminian? I think that's important. I really do. And I praise God for our great doctrine and our great church. But I'm asking you this evening in a practical way, are you free from the guilt and power of sin in your life? In the quietness of your own heart, as you stand, as you sit here in the presence of God this evening, are you free from condemnation? Have you asked God for cleansing from the root of defilement so that that tendency to unbelief has been taken care of? Are you, am I, a love slave of God and seeking to serve in His kingdom? Is it really a passion of your soul to be engaged in doing His will? And by God's grace, is the fruit of the Spirit being increasingly manifested in your life? And are you a citizen of heaven and looking forward to eternity with God? Father, help us tonight to take seriously the fact that we are defining Christian. We want to be actively engaged in witnessing. We want to talk to others about You. But even before we say a word, O God, we pray that our lives might declare that we belong to You. Help us to define the word Christian by letting the Christ life live through us. In Jesus' name, amen.